Hello and welcome to this episode 16 of the Switch Island Express podcast, the podcast that was once just for patrons, but now everybody can listen, so screw you. So this is where we just talk. We talk a little bit about what we've been playing and anything else that we fancy talking about, really. Speaking to you today, it's myself, Andrew, at Oddment84, and I'm joined from a cafe by Ben at BenjiKong. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm living the hipster dream right now, recording a podcast in a cafe in Brixton. I mean, what could be cooler than that?
Brixton as well. Wow. What coffee are you drinking there, Ben?
I am actually drinking a mocha. I've already had my cortado for the day, and now I'm having a mocha.
Oh, good.
In fact, at 6 o'clock this morning, I had an espresso. So I'm going through the whole gamut of coffees today.
Yeah, flat white next, and you've basically ticked off all of the hipster coffees for the day.
Exactly, and I am I'm buzzing my tits off.
Okay,
I wouldn't normally have had this many coffees by now. So if I ramble, you know why.
Yes. Well, you might be rambling for other reasons as well, because we're going to talk about what we've been playing, and probably start with you, Ben, because you basically want to tell everybody how amazing this particular game is.
Yes, Pantsu Hunter. I went off the strength of your review. Burn the pants.
Burn
no, I want to talk about Slay the Spire.
Yes.
Lord have mercy. I am absolutely loving this game. It's so I picked it up in the sale.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's normally £20, and it's down to £15 at the moment.
Nice.
Although by the time everyone's hearing this, I think it'll be back to normal price. So again, as Andrew said, screw you. but I think it's worth full price anyway. It's it's kind of like, well, to start from the beginning, prior to this year, I'd never really dabbled in kind of turn-based combat at all.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't grow up playing RPGs or anything. And I think last year I played Octopath, and I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Dan, but I did. Baby's first RPG. And since then, I think 2019 feels like the year I fell in love with turn-based stuff, so obviously Fire Emblem Three Houses, I think I might have mentioned that I quite enjoyed that.
You might have done, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, I reviewed SteamWorld Quest for the site. Dead in Vinland was another one, and Darkest Dungeon. And I played all of those this year and really enjoyed it. So Slay the Spire is turn-based kind of card deck building, but it's also got roguelike elements to it as well. Well, it is a roguelike, so at the end of your run, when you die, that's it, you're straight back to the beginning. And that's another genre that I've quite enjoyed sort of in the last few years as well, with like Enter the Gungeon, Dead Cells. This kind of feels like a Dead Cells meets sort of SteamWorld Quest meets Darkest Dungeon almost. It's got elements, it's got the best elements of all of those. So
okay.
Like in my review, yeah. Well, like in my review of SteamWorld Quest, I thought the battling in that was awesome. I enjoyed building the decks and everything, but it was the bits in between that I didn't like. So the kind of it was almost like Streets of Rage, but without any of the fun.
Oh, okay.
You were just walking around from place to place, looking for the next turn-based battle.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Slay the Spire just gets to the good stuff. So you're literally just going from battle to battle, moving your way along a map up the spire, so from place to place. And there are other kind of little bits in between, so there's like rest sites and a merchant, events and treasure chests and things like that, but they last 30 seconds and then you get into the next fight. And it's just really good fun, because when you kind of get a good hand and a good deck, and then you kind of build your cards around it. So I actually finished my first run yesterday, like managed to complete the game. I think it was in my fourth attempt. And that's just because I got lucky. So I had a good hand of cards that could sort of poison enemies. But then I had quite good defense as well. So I was basically just buffing myself to be able to absorb any damage and then poisoning everyone. and then you get these kind of multiplier cards. So they were just gradually getting poisoned and wearing themselves down, and I wasn't taking any damage at all. And then there's kind of relics that add like passive buffs that you pick up along the journey as well. So it's just, I don't know, it's just completely, it's just fucking good fun. I'm in a cafe full of like young mums. I should be swearing.
You'll be thrown out shortly.
No one's in earshot, just to clarify.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm kind of tucked around the corner. But I'm a responsible parent. I think it's just the most fun I've had, certainly since Fire Emblem. With the game, it's one of those that I feel like people kind of sleep on because, to be honest, it doesn't look all that. I think the graphics are pretty ropey.
Yeah.
Even to watch a kind of a video of it wouldn't really sell it to you. The sound is a bit repetitive, but the actual gameplay itself is just spot on.
That's the thing as well, isn't it? It's trying to figure out, it's like separating the wheat from the chaff in the eShop. It's really difficult to figure out just from images and the descriptions on the shop which games are going to be actually any good. Mike and I kind of touched on that in the last Express, and it's, I would definitely kind of overlook Slay the Spire just kind of scrolling through what's going on. But from what you've described, that sounds like a game that I'd really want to play. I'm a board game person as well as a video game person. I love deck building card games in real life, so the idea of being able to do that in a video game in the way that you've described sounds really appealing, and it just wouldn't look at it I wouldn't have expected it to be a particularly great game, but it sounds very in depth.
Yeah, do you know what? It's very in-depth, but it does a really good job of introducing and kind of guiding you through the game. So, you know, whereas, I don't know, I guess I've always thought turn-based stuff would be quite confusing, and that's probably what put me off, and a bit too overcomplicated and a bit too text-heavy. But this, you know, so this will say, you'll pick up a card, and it will say something like, you know, deals 3 vulnerable. Now you might go, okay, cool, but what does vulnerable mean? Does that mean I'm vulnerable? Does that mean the enemy's vulnerable? And what real world implications does that have? Does that mean he's more susceptible to my, you know, taking hits from me?
Yeah.
Or what? But every time it says a word like vulnerable or defense or whatever it might be, there's another little box underneath it that explains what that term means.
Okay.
In really simple terms. And I know that's just a little kind of quality of life thing, but it makes a difference because it means the actually picking it up and playing it for the first time, you're straight into it. It doesn't feel overwhelming at all, any of the mechanics.
Yeah, and that is a problem with a lot of, especially card-based games where, like you say, you're having to look for effects and stuff and you have no idea what they actually mean. I mean, I got into the free-to-play stuff. There's like Lightseekers and there's the Warhammer card game that you can play on the Switch, which I should really talk about at some point, but they're both great games. But the problem is, especially with the Warhammer one, there's so much that you have to kind of learn. You almost have to sit down with a rule book before you play it just to understand the different terminology. And they do try to explain it to you a little bit, but you do have to play a good number of games before you really get to grips with it. And even then, you know, it still takes a while to get to the core of everything. But that sounds like, you know, you can pick and play pretty much with that.
Yeah, exactly. It's really approachable, but at the same time, it's not that it lacks any depth. So, you know, I was a couple of runs in, I picked up a card. So these encounters that you encounter occasionally, there'll be something like pick up a certain power card, but lose 50% of your health, or your HP. So when I first saw that, I was like, no way, I'm not gonna lose half of my health because I'll just die straight away. But this card that I happened to pick up made enemies drop their strength down to 1 for like the next 2 turns, which basically means you're impervious to any damage for 2 turns. So I had another relic that meant my cards weren't discarded when I played them, so it would get put back into the pack to be pulled again. So knowing that synergy was there, I thought, yeah, okay, I'll do that. And actually had a really good run with that combination.
Nice.
So it's just little things like that. It's just, yeah, it feels proper, like, it feels proper nerdy. It doesn't feel like I'm playing a cool game at all. But it's not like Grid Autosport, but it's it's good. It's good fun. And it's a very easy, as I said to you the other day, I was listening to you and Mike on the Last Express whilst playing this game, because it's not something, the sound is perfectly serviceable, but it's quite an easy one to just listen to a podcast, concentrate on the cards. And it's quite a chill experience as well. I think that's probably why I'm quite enjoying turn-based stuff, because there's no, as much as I love something like Dead Cells, you've got to be switched on constantly.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You're moving constantly, reacting to stuff, whereas this is, you know, play at your own pace, wherever you are. It's just, I'm going to say it, but it is perfect for Switch.
There you go.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I mean, I think there's a few of us, I think myself included, possibly Mark as well, who were like, oh, well, it's coming to Game Pass on the Xbox, and we'll pick it up there. But yeah, I think you're possibly right. If it's that kind of chill out game, it's one of those you could just take with you. I mean, you could be playing it right now, sat in the coffee shop, really, rather than chatting to me, having a lovely time of it.
It's true, true.
Yeah. Well,
yes, but no, I think as you say, I think one of the things is it doesn't look like a fashionable game. It doesn't look like something you would pick up on a whim, which is part of the reason why I wanted to talk about it, because I feel like, you know, for anyone that does listen to this and give a toss about what we say, I really think it's, I think most people would enjoy it. So yeah, I think it's just, I just wanted to give it a shout out and give it a bit of shine, you know, because I know Tom Marks on NVC has been singing its praises a lot this year. But obviously they don't have the sort of listenership that we have, so just wanted to give it a bit more shine, you know.
There you go. I mean, to be honest, it sounds like a game I want, and I'm very much considering whether or not I should buy it before the sale ends now. So thanks for that. Just add to my backlog.
Job done. My work here is done.
Huh?
My work here is done.
Your work here is done, absolutely, as he sits back slurping a coffee. I think that we need to get a Twitter poll out there just to figure out who actually listens to our opinions. Yes, no. Do you actually listen to what we say? Let's put that out. Anyway, anything else you've been playing, Ben, apart from that, or has that been your go-to game this week?
That has been pretty much my go-to game. Just checking in on Tetris 99. You know, every few days, just to, now that they've put those daily challenges in, I keep going back to collect my tickets.
Nice.
So yeah, they've got me by the balls.
There you go.
But yeah, love that game still. Still haven't won. I don't think I'll ever win a game.
Who has? Has anybody actually won that we know?
I don't believe so. I think me and Sticky have both come second or third a few times.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, nowadays I'm lucky to get in the top 10.
Yeah.
It's
ridiculous. I think I've gotten the top 10 once, and mostly I don't get out of the top 70, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
But there we go.
But yeah, how about you? What have you been playing?
Oh, do you know what? It's been a fairly quiet week on the game front. It's mostly been Grid Autosport, which I kind of chatted about in the last Express, and kind of giving that some attention. Which is, you know, still, I would still say it's a fantastic game. There needs to be more racing games on the Switch. But I am getting increasingly worried about the old digital analog trigger issue.
Right.
Because that's almost like a bit of a, it's like a stopping point for me. It's an issue for me because it takes away the level of control that you would expect from a racing game. Yeah. And so I can kind of see why there hasn't been this glut of racing games on the Switch, apart from, you know, Mario Kart, which doesn't really call for intense, sensitive control. So it's, I don't know, it's, I'm worried for future games that we only have the digital triggers is what I mean by that, I think.
It's a strange omission. I wonder what the thinking was. I wonder if that's just to cut down on the Joy-Cons have got every technology packed into them already. It's weird that's the thing that they would take out, because it has become pretty much standard what you'd expect from a modern controller.
Well, yeah, and then the point that they had a Pro controller, which, you know, if they had issues with putting in a digital trigger into the Joy-Con because of the size, you'd imagine the Pro controller they could have easily fit one in. I mean, I suppose they want to keep it as much like the Joy-Con as possible, but. It stops people from playing a certain type of game properly, like racing games. I'm sure there are other games that really used analog triggers quite a lot. It's a bit of a weird omission from Nintendo, and I just hope that other people who bring out racing games, especially ones that are more on the simulation side, kind of take a leaf out of Ferrell's book and actually implement GameCube control, because that kind of makes it the best game it can be on the Switch. It does mean that you have to play in docked then, of course, but, you know, if you want that experience, then that's what you have to do, I suppose.
Yeah, it's just such a effort to go to have that level of control, which shouldn't just be standard for a racing game in 2019.
You can use the analog stick, but it's just a bit of a bizarre. You're using one thumb to steer and then the other thumb to accelerate and brake, and it can be a bit odd to try and do it that way. But at least it's there.
Yeah, it's an option, but not ideal. You think, like, what was it, as far back as the Dreamcast? I'm sure, like, Metropolis Street Racer had analog control on the triggers.
I'm fairly certain you're asking me now. I'm writing a book about the Dreamcast, and I should know if the Dreamcast had. I'm looking around at the Dreamcast. I'm like, does it have analog triggers? I'm pretty sure it did. I'm pretty sure it did.
Keep us honest, listeners. Let us know.
Because
Andrew clearly doesn't know as much as I thought he did. Have you picked up Asphalt 9?
I have, and I've played it, because it's weird. That's one of the games I picked up first when I got my iPhone XS. Because I had an iPhone SE before that and couldn't play any decent games on it because it was such a small screen, and to be fair, I'm not that into mobile gaming anyway. But Asphalt 9 is one of the first games I picked up for the iPhone XS, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good game. So having it on the Switch, kind of without all of the extra mobile gaming stuff attached to it, is actually really, it's really good fun.
Does it? You say about the mobile gaming stuff, I know you and Mike spoke about this in the last episode, but does it try and force you into microtransaction hell?
I've not played enough to get that far. I think I've only played enough that, I'm pretty sure there must be microtransactions in there somewhere, because it's a free game. If it was a paid for game, then they probably would have taken them out. But from memory, from playing it on the iPhone, even though it was a mobile game, it wasn't huge on microtransactions. Like, they were there and they would help you progress a little bit quicker, but they weren't like a requirement to play. It was one of those that if you waited long enough, you'd get, or if you did well enough in the races, you'd get what you needed, but the microtransactions were there as a way to kind of help you get there quicker. I suppose that's one of the things of mobile gaming. People want quick thrills, as it were, so they're willing to pay a little bit to get there quicker, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose so. But because on the face of it, it looks awesome. The graphics look really good. It looks good. Good, kind of more arcadey than grid.
And I think the Switch lends itself more to arcadey type games. Like, I can imagine, I don't know if you've ever seen Split Second on the 360. That was like a proper arcadey type game with tracks that changed as you went round. I could see that on the Switch quite easily. So I think that's why something like Grid Autosport is a bit of a marvel, because having an actual proper racing game, although it does have arcade tendencies, it's kind of interesting that they managed to get it to work. But speaking about Asphalt, though, it's a very fun game, and for free, I say why not give it a go. You might have to make space for it, I suppose. Ben, you might have to, because your memory card's getting quite full.
Yeah, they all are. How big is the download off the top of your head, do you know?
Not off the top of my head. I don't think it's huge, though. I mean, it was a mobile game, so you'd imagine they've kind of streamlined the amount of space that it should take. But
that's true. Yeah, no, I'll have a look at that one. What I was going to say, when you said, we were talking about arcadey experiences, another arcade game that's coming out today, what was it, Friday the 11th, we're recording this, Killer Queen Black. Do you know much about that?
Only that you keep talking about it, and constantly if anybody is going to get it.
And
that's
everyone
all I know about it, Ben.
And everyone just ignores me.
Yes.
So we're going to have to do another episode so I can try and get people to buy that as well. This would be the recurring theme of me trying to just get you sold on these games. But no, it looks it looks really good. Our friends over at Nintendo World Report gave it a 9.5.
Wow.
So their review came out, and it looks... So it's an arcade game. I think it was an arcade game from quite a few years ago. It's basically 4v4 and single screen, almost like a Duck Game or Towerfall or something like that. But you've got three different ways to win, effectively.
Okay.
I can't remember what they're all called, but it's basically you either kill the queen or... Not literally the queen.
No, don't go out and do that, please.
It's just a video game.
Listeners.
Or you can do it by collecting something or other, like four.
Oh, it was like an economic victory or something, wasn't there? Like your workers go and collect things,
That's it.
I have looked a little bit, Ben. I've come prepared.
You do listen. And then the other one is a snail victory, where I think you have to basically just ride a snail to the goal. But I assume other people are trying to hit you while you're on the snail, so it's not as easy as that. But yeah, it just sounds really kind of quirky and just a bit of online multiplayer. I guess Overwatch coming out a few days afterwards probably isn't going to help the online community.
Possibly. Although the whole China issue there might kind of dampen the Overwatch launch, perhaps.
What is going on there? I've only kind of seen the odd bits and bobs as I spill coffee all over my laptop.
Oh dear. While Ben cleans it up, the Overwatch issue, I suppose, is that there's I think one of the tournaments for Overwatch, the big esport tournaments, was won by a team from Hong Kong, and the main player from that team basically in the winning speech on the stream basically said free Hong Kong, the problem there being for Blizzard is that Blizzard is half owned by a Chinese company who themselves are basically an arm of the communist government. Somebody saying that is this. And what they then did is they withdrew his win and took all of the prize money away from him for doing that. So it's a bit much. So people are now doing the whole boycott Blizzard thing, which I can completely understand. And to a degree, I'd probably be on board there, but I've already paid for my pre-order of Overwatch, so it'd be very difficult for me to take it back now.
I mean, I would cancel my pre-order, but, you know, it's a lot of effort to go through.
It is, it's a lot of effort.
Just for a political stance.
It's a lot of effort. Maybe I just won't play it. I'll buy it, but I just won't play it in protest.
That sounds more like you.
Thanks, Ben.
And Mike, more to the point.
Yes.
Still not happy with him for the last episode. Oh, Ben doesn't finish any games. Fuck you, Mike. I noticed Bobby, the Nintendo guru, was having a kind of debate, I think, with Mr. Badbit on Twitter about this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Badbit was in the kind of boycott Blizzard camp.
Yeah,
But then Bobby made the point of, look, I just want to enjoy the game, and probably 99% of the people that worked on the game have no kind of horse in the race when it comes to the political machinations that go on in the background of Blizzard. So why would I deprive them? Like, they've made this amazing game that they want people to play.
Yeah,
it's a tricky one. I mean, I probably fall more in that camp, I think, strongly in that camp, because, you know, why deprive yourself and all of those people that want people to experience their art, you know, just because of the company that they happen to work for?
Yeah, and to be fair, I mean, the majority of the money that they've made has been made by now, because Overwatch has been out for so long. People have already paid them a lot of money for that. People coming on board now are probably a very small percentage of the overall amount that they've made from Overwatch. So it's not going to do a huge amount really to boycott, I don't think. And there are lots of other ways that you can kind of show your support of Hong Kong and of that whole situation. I think I agree with you, Ben, that you can't deprive the developers who've worked really hard on this game from what they've earned, I suppose.
Look at us. Switch Island does politics.
There we go. That should be the title, and everybody will just switch off instantly.
The Switch Island does politics and knob jokes. We can make that.
More knob jokes than politics. It's
fine. Let's stick some in at the end.
Oh dear, Ben. So I guess that brings us to what we've played. That's kind of it, I guess. Is there anything else that? Do we want our patrons to know anything else, or our listeners in general, since it's not just the patrons anymore?
It's true. Probably we should talk about EGX, I guess, just a little bit, will be there. So if anyone listening is also going to EGX, was it the weekend of the 17th?
Yes.
In October?
I think it starts on the 17th, yeah, that's right.
Then, come and keep an eye out for a group of handsome gentlemen, and then ask them where we are. And then come say hello.
I think going by what Dan has bought for EGX, you'll be able to see us from quite far away.
That's a good point.
I won't spoil it.
No.
You'll see it. If you're at EGX, you'll see it. We'll likely do a couple of live streams on Patreon, and we'll no doubt bring a few videos to you after the fact as well. Dan has created something absolutely amazing that I
hope. It's magnificent.
It is magnificent. And I hope it brings exactly what he's asking for. So.
Yeah. It should be good. We're just generally just making nuisances of ourselves.
Yeah, pretty much. We've kind of split into camps, haven't we, really? There's going to be two of us. I think one team are going to be making a proper nuisance to themselves. And the other half are going to go around and do fairly serious stuff. So.
Yeah.
What team are you in, Ben?
Can you guess? Yes, team idiots, I think
I'm in. Team idiot. And of course, Dan is in that team too. So I think myself and Rich are definitely solidly in team sensible.
Yes.
But yeah, if you see us around, if you're there, come say hi. It would be great to speak to anybody who listens. It's going to be fun, I think.
Yeah, and a few beers afterwards. It'd be good to get a few people together and just have a good laugh. And be nice to meet you in real life for the first time.
That's true, yeah. I've not done that yet.
And see how tall everyone is.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be the shortest, I'm pretty certain.
Rich is pretty short.
Really?
I think he's shorter than... I think he's grown the beard to make it look like his face is longer than it is.
Somebody told me the illusion he's of taller height. Than I would expect. They just, like...
Well, how tall do you expect him to be? I suppose that's the question.
I expect him to be about 6 foot, from the looks of him.
Ooh.
No,
you're well off.
No. 5 foot two?
Closer. Yeah. Somewhere between the two.
Okay. So about my height then.
Okay. I can carry you around in my pocket. Amazing.
I'm not 5 foot two. I'm really not. I'm not that short. I don't know why I'm bothered about being short here.
Okay. Oh, do you know what? I think that's quite a concise episode, considering we've rambled off topic quite a lot.
Yeah, I think it is, actually. We've done a better job than me and Mike managed, and we were very much trying to get to the 30-minute mark. I think a quick shout out to Patreon before we leave it. If you're listening and you haven't joined us on Patreon yet, you can chuck us $1 or more if you enjoy our content, and if you want to get more involved, then chuck us a few more dollars, you can get more involved, Ben.
Yep. Absolutely. How involved do we want them to be? I think it's worth doing. The people that have supported us so far, I think, are happy with what they're getting. So obviously the odd extra bonus podcast, they get this podcast early, mm-hmm. and there's a few kind of tangible gifts that we throw out as well.
Absolutely.
As we said in the last episode, as soon as we hit 20 patrons, we're going to be giving a physical copy of Flipping Death away, which is by all accounts a pretty good game. And actually, speaking of Bobby, the Nintendo guru, he's in that game somewhere, apparently.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's a portrait of him somewhere.
How do we get in a game? We need to get in a game, I think.
I'd love to get in a game. Well, we're pretty cozy with a few developers now. I wonder if we could kind of, you know, have a little word in their ear.
We'll have to see, yeah. I was very close to going for a tier in Shenmue 3 that would have put my face in it. However, I didn't have $3,000, so I didn't do that. But that would have been amazing. But yeah, that would be my ideal game to be in for sure.
Yeah.
What about you?
I don't know, man. I think go big. I think just like being on a billboard in FIFA or something like that would be good.
EA, if you're listening, Ben's face on a billboard, please.
We've always been so positive about EA. I think that's the natural choice.
Now, the thing is, if they're listening and they've also listened to Rich's rant about EA, they'll put your face on a billboard, but they'll do something really awful to it. So just be careful what you wish for.
Exactly. Just my face with a massive knob coming out of my head.
We could do that anyway, Ben. You know, we could just do that on the Switch Island. It's fine.
It's fine by me. We're all thinking it.
Well, I think we should leave it there. And thanks very much, Ben, for joining us from the cafe. Have you finished your coffee?
I have finished my coffee, and I'm just working my way through some mint and lime water now.
Oh, well. So hipster. So hipster it hurts. Right, well, I'll leave you to the water. And you can follow us, of course, at The Switch Island. If you're listening to this, you're probably already following us. But at The Switch Island, you can follow me at Oddmint84. And Ben, where can they follow you?
You can follow me at BenjiCon.
Brilliant. All right, until next time, guys. Bye.
Bye.